the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by... Tonight's episode, King John. King John, written about, 1595 or so. Shakespeare goes back in time a little bit from his tetralogy of King Henry VI, part 1, 2, 3, and Richard III. Tells the story of King John, who is currently the King of England, and is there because his brother Geoffrey died and he took power. Unfortunately, Geoffrey had a son, a male heir, who really should technically probably be king, King John not really interested in giving up the crown. What happens is that his mom and Arthur go to France and say, "This is outrageous, you need to help us," and France agrees. They're going to go and they're going to remove King John forcibly, things swell into a good old civil war. I mean, the real question becomes, is it better to have an older king who perhaps is not legitimately a king, or this young kid who really doesn't know what he's doing? His possessions 9/10 of the law? Is the tradition of kings being a patriarchal primogenitor thing taking precedence? Anyway, the two armies line up against each other pretty much outside of Angiers, and the town is going to be ransacked, and it's going to be a disaster. And Angiers, amongst other people, kind of come up with a plan of, hey, why don't we do a marriage here that will be a marriage of convenience that will bring love and peace to France and England. And France agrees to it, which pretty much screws Arthur and his mom. I forgot to tell you at the beginning of the play, there's a bastard who's actually the illegitimate son of Richard the Lionhearted, and gives up his mom's name in order to take his Richard the Lionheart name. He effectively gives up his claim to the lands in order to have this title, and he's the bastard throughout the play, who seems gung-ho about fighting and has a monologue once the Angiers peace broker or peace marriage is marriage for peace is brokered. About commodity, which is in this case viewed as the flattering self-interest that trumps perhaps what might be right or wrong. It, commodity is what turns allies into enemies and enemies into allies at the drop of a hat. So anyway, the piece is close to being done, and a representative from the Pope comes and says to King John, "You know, you gotta bow down to Rome. You gotta do this." King John says, "No, I'm not gonna do that." The representative emissary from the Pope goes to France and says, "Well, you gotta look. This guy's he's excommunicated. He's a heresy. You know, he's a heretic. You gotta join forces again and take this guy out." France says, "Look, we just brokered a deal. You know, come on. This is ridiculous." And eventually, it turns out that commodity once again rears its ugly head, and it's revealed that France is gonna have to go back to war, mainly because France has a plan where he will marry a relative and become in line for the throne if Arthur dies with legitimacy rather than King John. So again, it's self-interest that really leads all this. The battle wages. What happens is that King John captures Arthur and ultimately puts him in the tower and does a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to a friend of his to say, you know, that Arthur should be killed. His friend cannot do it, but tells John that he has done it. The noblemen are enraged because they say they can't believe that he killed this kid. And that's when it's revealed, no, actually, he didn't actually die. Noblemen go out and find Arthur's body because in his attempt to escape, he jumped from a very high ledge and broke his neck. Nice going, Arthur. You would have made a great king, I'm sure. Ultimately, at the end of the play, France is victorious, and, John's out. That's pretty much it. The bastard has some good monologues and everything. Two monologues of note. Louis, who ultimately takes the crown and marries for a commodity and to put himself in line for the throne, has a line that says in Act 3, Scene 4, "There's nothing in this world can make me joy. Life is as tedious as a twice-told tale, vexing the dull ear of a drowsy man. And bitter shame hath spoiled the sweet world's taste, that it yields naught but shame and bitterness." It's nice, some nice imagery there. Lewis also has a great Shakespearean burn, where he says in Act 5, Scene 7, therein thy brave, and turn thy face in peace. We grant thou canst outscold us. Fare thee well. We hold our time too precious to be spent with such a brabbler. Which is great. It's a great sort of turn of being scolded into, oh yeah, that's great. You're a really great scolder. Nice going. It's okay to play. Not a whole lot happens. A lot of the happenings occur off stage, and then it's people sort of talking about it. A lot of politics, a lot of gamesmanship on that respect. So maybe I should be more into it because that's what a lot of the King Henry VI cycle was about. But I don't know. I think it just worked better in King Henry VI than it does here. As I said, though, main point is commodities, which is the big part of the play. And the bastard's kind of cool. King John, written around 1595, complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by me, Kevin S. Hannah.